right. Afternoon's Name is brought to you by the Indiana Civil Rights Commission. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoon's Name is. So, I went on the internet and I was during the interview and I was trying to find some examples of communities working with teen and youth violence. And I found a press release written by an elected official in a community that's having this problem, Chris, with their minority youth and crime. Listen to their solutions. This is from a press release from an elected official in a community. It says, expanding relationship with minority and youth service providers is an important tool in addressing minority overrepresentation in youth crime. Young minorities are significantly overrepresented in youth offending statistics, with an apprehension rate of more than three times that of white young people. Now this is according to this elected official. While it's encouraging that apprehensions of young minorities have fallen almost 15% over the last 5 years, they remain badly overrepresented in our crime statistics, showing that there is more work to be done. And evidently what they did in this community, they looked at what works, and evidence suggests, and this is what they did, that in providing programs with minority-specific content in a minority-specific environment, using minority-specific teaching and learning techniques, gets better outcomes for children and young people of minority descent. Also, this release says, providing these programs to minorities in a culturally appropriate way helps to bring these at-risk young people close to their roots, their history and culture, instilling pride and belief in themselves. And evidently, in this community, they started these reforms in October 2010. This release was written on November 26th of last year. And these reforms include a range of policy changes to provide more effective interventions for young offenders, as well as investing over $84 million over 3 years in further programs such as parenting education. Would you like to know what community that was? Well, the guy that wrote this press release is a gentleman by the name of Chester Burrows, like Burrows Money. He happens to be the Minister of Courts, the Associate Minister of Justice, and the Associate Minister of Social Development for the government of, wait for it, New Zealand. The country of New Zealand, way on the other side of the world. And when I mention minority, the actual press release talks about the Maori. That is M-A-O-R-I. Those are persons of color. If you've ever seen rugby or wrestlers in the Olympics from New Zealand, the gentlemen that are kind of dark-complected, kind of more Pacific Islander than white, that's the minority, the Maori of New Zealand. And evidently in New Zealand, they got a problem with Maori youth being disproportionately arrested for crimes. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? And evidently what they've done in New Zealand is to look at providing programs with Maori-specific content in a Maori-specific environment using Maori-specific teaching and learning techniques. They found that gets better outcomes for children and young people of Maori descent. Translate that to providing programs with black-specific content in a black-specific environment using black-specific teaching and learning techniques gets better outcomes for children and young people of black descent. Oh, this Chester Burrows, the minister? Oh, he's a white New Zealander, so he's not like the Barack Obama of New Zealand. So I mention that to say, first of all, the problem of youth, of teen and young adult crime, this is not just an American thing. They got problems over in New Zealand. Maybe that's where the mayor needs to travel to instead of going to India. He needs to go to New Zealand. He needs to go to New Zealand, talk to this Chester Burrows and find out what they're doing over there. Oh, $84 million in New Zealand money. I don't think New Zealand money is equal to our money. So that's probably a lot more money in American money. Let me start today with Greg. What do we do? Hi, Greg.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Maybe we need to hire some of those Maori to come over here.
Yeah, you got that right.
But isn't that interesting that from another nation that's having a problem with their minority youth?
Yep.
They took it as, let's reach them where they are with content that relates to their heritage, their culture, with people they're familiar with.
Yep.
That's it.
And, you know, I want to say, you know, because I've talked about this with several police officers. I know some of them are downtown on Friday night and Saturday night. They says, what in the mm-hmm. world can we do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, you got several problems. First, you need to make a place that's more popular than downtown. Mm-hmm. You got to put some money, but you know, have some kind of comedy club, something. The place has got to be safe where everybody feels comfortable to go. That's the number one thing. And second, you have to have somewhere like maybe a comedy club or something like a amateur talent night or something mm-hmm. that the kids will be interested to go there instead of get downtown.
Right.
And since, you know, and second, you got to start doing things that show that you care about the youth, you know, the young kids. I was talking to one of the cops. I said, when they was going down, he was one of the guys in the paper that they featured.
Right.
And he's interested in this subject because he really cares.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wouldn't that have been kind of interesting the day that they went, Friday and Saturday night, them cops could have snuck some pop down there or something, surprised those youth. Because they would never expect the cops to be nice to them.
Mm.
They were expecting for, here we coming down there, it's us against them. But what would have happened if they would have had coolers of pop without them knowing it, and as they came along says, hey, you know, you kind of thirsty. You know, those guys like, that's the kind of stuff, you know what I'm trying to say? Don't make it, you want to protect them, but you don't want to make it us against them. You want to make it, hey, we're your friends.
You know, that's an interesting point. If these were, if this was Afghanistan, and these were our American soldiers and Marines, you're right, they'd have been passing out soda pop or candy or whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's like, okay, then, but we're not your enemy. We just want to protect you. Matter of fact, we're trying to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
But if every time you have something dealing with something, it's always look like me versus you,
right.
You're actually going to have other people, you know, jumping on the bandwagon on the other side because that's what they see it as. So, you know what I mean? Because you're dealing with some, you know, you're dealing with some youth that don't have no light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
They already made their mind up that their life is never going to be nowhere. They're just giving up. So there's nothing you can take away from them nothing you can take away from them that's going to do any difference to them. So now you got to start trying to add something to make their life better.
All right. Good points, my brother. I appreciate it. Let me go to City County Councilor Duke Oliver. Hi, Duke.
Yeah, how you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
Take my call.
Yeah.
Amos, I just want to respond to, I heard you read the letter from the elected official in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And he referred to Maoris as, you know, those of that have been discriminated against, obviously, because of their skin color. Translated into where we're at and where we're going to meet at this evening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going over to Eastern Star Church, and I hope many join us over there to hear some of the comments from the panelists on how we address this issue. I'd like to go further to say, Amos, that I won't be one of those supporting of more policing, they're doing a great job already. We need more focusing on education, job opportunities, et cetera. Jobs have been touted, have been brought in our community, but they've been performed by others outside of our community. And probably, if the truth be told, most, if not all, 99% of those arrested for these heinous crimes probably were high school dropouts and or didn't have a job to begin with. So I believe in going back to the root of the situation, and that's our education system, our job opportunities for our young people. President Obama has tried to institute that twice by bringing jobs into the community, a stimulus program, and Congress voted it down, said you're not going to do that. He tried to do that for the inner city youth who suffered highly for unemployment. And we find that unemployment probably is one of the root causes of those turning to crime.
All right, good points. We'll see you there. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's afternoon's name is back for phones and David. Hi there.
Hey, Amos, how are you?
I'm fine, sir.
Hey, I got two things to make a comment about. First of all, has anybody considered, under the police guidance, bringing some of these kids in that are already in jail or in juvenile detention center that has committed some of these crimes, and with their families and asking them what went wrong, what can we do to help them, what can we do to prevent this from happening in the future? Just get them there and let them see the community cares and the community is trying and get their input on what they think what went wrong in their lives.
You know, that's a very good one of the
my wife brought that up, by the way. She didn't want to call. But.
Well, tell her she gets 25 points. I didn't put it in my notes because I've got five things here that I'm going to put on the table in a little bit. We have not, first of all, this is not a new problem. This has been going on for years. And it is amazing to me that nobody has done that kind of basic research. You know, we hear from young people, hey, you know, clue us in, talk to us, hear from us.
Talk to the ones that are actually the ones that have caused the problem that we have in custody. It's one of those situations where I always thought a person should be trialed as an adult based on the nature of the crime, not your age. Anything involving a gun,
right,
where you scare a person into thinking you have a gun, mm-hmm, if you pull a gun and don't use it, or if you do use it, you need to be trialed as an adult and get adult time, and not necessarily in a juvenile detention center, but in an adult prison that has a section separated for those under 18, and let them deal with real jail situations.
Well,
not put them in a general population, but on the campus or the facility of a real prison and treat it like a real prisoner.
And that's
one comment.
Right.
And lastly, I would like to say to that situation that happened in Flint, Michigan, about that nurse that was told she couldn't care for that white child, I thought that health care system let that whole region down. Flint is predominantly African American. That Hurley is a major player in terms of health care in that region. And for them to allow someone who was clearly racist to point out that they didn't want African-American nurses taking care of their child, and for that hospital to try to accommodate them, I thought they let that whole region down in terms of health care and any young nurse that wants to be a nurse in that health care system in the future. That's horrible.
You know, somebody just called, didn't want to go on the air, said they ought to do a show like, I guess, Scared Straight is back on the A&E network. Because I remember when Scared Straight was like a syndicated show, and they put it on Channel 4 back in the day, and then they showed, and there was a lot of publicity, where troubled kids go into a jail and see what real life is like behind bars. There's a danger, though, because some of these young people and young adults think that going to jail is a badge of honor.
Exactly, because they don't have anything positive that they put their eye on in the future, because going to jail means my goal for what I want to be in life is accomplished.
What about this idea from, of all places, New Zealand, where they said, hey, you know, in order to do this, we need to, you know, get the Maori youth in an environment that they're familiar with their teaching techniques, their learning techniques, the content that reflects their community.
Well, you know, Amos, our music promotes this crap on your network. You guys got that 96.3. After 6 o'clock, there's nothing on there that says anything positive in terms of the lyrics of the music. It's horrible. But the parents are going to have to, I would think any kid that does something involving death or shooting or hurting somebody, their parents should be the one doing the public service, the community service, and paying a fine if they're under 18 while the kids do the time. And then the parents will find out a little bit more about what their kids are doing. Do you have a gun? Where you going? What you doing? Because if you get in trouble, I got to pay a fine, and I got to do community service. We
got
to make these parents accountable.
I agree with that in part, but how does the parent know the kid has a gun?
No, if the parent knows that their kid's going out, and they know that if the kid does something, you are going to do some sweeps and searches of your kid's room, and you're going to find out where they're going, because if you know they get in trouble,
mm-hmm,
then you're going to have to do community service and pay a fine. So I think they would be a little bit more aware of what's going on in there. They would go through their kids' rooms more, ask them where they're going, what time you're coming back, because if I know I was responsible for what my kid did when I go out there, I want to know where you're going and what you're doing. I'm not going to be spending time in jail. I'm not going to be paying a fine, and I'm not going to be doing community service to your foolishness. So I need to have a better grip on what you're doing.
So,
make the parents more accountable.
So far, you know, we're not disagreeing, but what do you do about this mom? and this, I think it's the dad or the granddad of this young man who's now been bound over to adult court, charged, with the alleged murder of the gentleman that crime spree from the other day. The mom said, hey, I tried to get the attention of the juvenile court to help me with him, and nobody helped me. What do you do with a parent that's trying to do and is asking the system, hey, I can't control this kid. I need some help. And the system said, hey, man, we're too busy.
It's sort of like calling up the police and saying, I think somebody's threatening to kill me. And they'll tell you, well, call us when he does. I don't know what you can do about that. Mm-hmm. That's just one of those situations. You can't commit a crime until the crime has been committed.
But here's,
it's been committed. I understand that. I'm from Detroit. And they only address, after 4 o'clock, they only address life-threatening issues. If you call and say that your son is threatening to hurt you, the police will not show up at your door in Detroit after 4 o'clock. Call us when he hurts you.
Well, that's because Detroit is broke.
That's because it's broke. But I'm saying the same thing here. You report your child is trouble.
Well, we're not.
Your child is getting in trouble. But until he does something to bring us in front of him, the courts are not going to get. He's not going to. Until they bring him in front of the court, the court's not going to get in front of them until they do something. And that's one of those situations. And I don't understand why that is, but asking for help from the court will only help you when they're in trouble. When you see us.
All right. Good point. Good point, my brother. 239-1310. 239-1310. What are your solutions to reduce, teen violence? Teen violence defined as from the ages of 12 to 17, and young adult violence from the ages of 18 to 34. Those are two different types of problems we have with violence. The more serious violent violence is driven 18 to 34, not teen. So I want y'all to click. Teens aren't driving the murders and the aggravated assaults. The media may want you to think that, but the actual hard numbers are totally different, regardless of this aberration that occurred with the crime spree with the 17-year-old and the 15-year-old. That's the exception, not the rule. Back to the phones and Anonymous. Hi there.
Yes. I just wanted my voice to be heard
on this
subject.
Come on.
I don't usually talk. I usually just listen to all the different comments.
Then we've been waiting for you all the time. Welcome.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I did a survey at the Indiana Boys School when I was doing an in-service there,
okay,
or fellowship there.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that I asked the children, because I was interested in why a lot of them were there.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that most of those children who were there, even some who were 17 and almost 18 years old,
mm-hmm,
they didn't go to church.
Mm-hmm.
We keep harping on education, 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 but
go ahead. You're doing a great job. Go ahead.
You know, the thing that really needs to be emphasized, and this is the parents, it's on the parents,
mm-hmm,
but it's also the whole community, but particularly on the parents, because educating the children starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
And most of those children that I surveyed, their parents did not take them to church.
Mm-hmm.
If they went to church, they went with a neighbor or somebody in their family.
Mm-hmm.
But their parents did not take them to church. They were not putting godly principles in them. And so it is their fault. It is their fault.
Their
children are downtown, causing a lot of ruckus and being arrested and being involved in crime and all that. And that's why a lot of those children were there. The
mm-hmm
majority of those children that I surveyed did not go to church, didn't read the Bible, didn't really know very much about God.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts at home and it branches out.
How long, because I'm sure this will still be borne out if we went over to the boys' school and did that same survey.
It's probably worse.
How many years ago was this?
This was in the 90s.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So it's probably worse now because I don't really see things changing a whole lot since then.
Well,
not really.
We don't know. And the reason I say we don't know is law enforcement has now got to do a better job of sharing the statistics and the data with the community so that I could be able to pull up in a, on a computer and see, okay, was the level of teen violence and young adult violence in the 90s ahead or behind of where it is today? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That way we can really look at comparing apples to apples. But you made outstanding points, my sister. Don't be a stranger on the program. You're welcome back anytime, okay?
I will certainly do my best.
All righty, I appreciate it. Thank you. Let me go to Lashana, 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm just frustrated about the comments on everybody saying hold the parents accountable. I'm down here now in the juvenile court waiting to go to court for my son. He goes to church. He's been in counseling since he was little. Us parents cannot control everything that a child does. Children have their own minds. All we can do is direct them and lead them in the right path within God. So I just think it's frustrating to hear everybody say, well, the parents need to be held accountable. I've done all I can. He has two parents in the home, uncle, brothers, everybody supporting him. And all we can do is keep trying for him. But he has his own mind, so he doesn't want to listen to us. He done broke into houses. He done did so much. And I'm down here in court for the past 2 years begging and pleading for help. They're not doing nothing but slapping him on the back of his hand.
All right, let me ask you this. If I could give you the magic wand,
yes.
And what kind of help would you like to get for your son that you're not getting? And I said, Lashana, here's the magic wand. Wave it. What you need? What would your answer be?
I would want a full coverage psychic evaluation on my son and somebody to guide him every step of the way, because there's something he's missing, and I don't know what it is, and he's not opening up to me. So I would want a full evaluation done on him and somebody to – there needs to be programs out here. What's really making me mad is that all these people hitting the lottery and giving to football, all this money given away when we're low on funding. Mm-hmm. Why keep giving people this money for lottery when they could be giving it to these teachers and fundings to help our children? I need help with my son. I'm sitting out here right now in the juvenile court waiting to go in, talking on this radio. I want help. But if he goes out there tomorrow and kills somebody, are y'all going to punish me? That's not right.
You know, first of all, sometimes the Lord makes the telephone work and folks to call in the right spot in the discussion, because I think people who point a finger at parents don't realize what some parents have to go through today. And so here you are, a child of God, you've done your train up a child, and the child ain't moving. Because I think people forget God gave us all free will. Free
yes.
will to do right and free will to do wrong. And sometimes right. the young people we got, you sound like you got a little cane with you.
Right. Exactly. And then y'all want to punish us, but I'm doing all I can. I'm fighting, asking these courts, help me. But they send them, they lock them up, and 24 hours later, every time they pick them up, not even 24 hours later, Miss McClain, can you come get him? No, keep him. I need some help.
And, you know, and I've heard this over the years, and I can't figure out, you know, what kind of system that if a parent says, I can't do no more, somebody help me with my child, there's nothing you can do. And then you look at these adults, LaShawn, look at that, what's that girl, Lindsay Lohan?
Uh-huh.
That girl been in more trouble than Carter got liver pills.
Yeah.
And what if she was 16 with these troubles?
Right.
You know, do you blame the parents? And, you know, of course, everybody blames the parents now that she's older.
Yeah.
Or some of these others that have been in and out of this. But it sounds like part of what you said is if a child's being incorrigible and always going through juvenile.
Yes.
And they've not had that evaluation to see what really is going on.
Right.
And that and that goes back to we don't have sufficient mental health services or some, at least you're honest enough to want that service. There's a lot of African Americans that we're afraid of mental health.
Yeah, you know, I just called Job Corps trying to seek help. They said that they're not taking no applications because of funding. But you got people out here winning the lottery.
Well, now they may be saying that because we're getting ready to go off the sequester and the fiscal cliff next Friday, so don't nobody know what's going to happen then. But you made some very, very good points. Very good points. I appreciate you calling. Thank you, my sister.
Thank you, sir.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let me go to Don right quick, then we'll take a break. Hi, Don.
Hey, how you doing, Andy?
I'm fine.
Hey, I want to debunk this thing about the church. This young teenager just killed this man the other day. His father came on the radio and TV and said, my son went to church. He was in church. He was raised up in the church. And yet, this happened. I still want to go back to the parents because, see, what's happening is the lack of supervision and the lack of discipline. You know, Amos, when you grew up and when I grew up, sometimes our parents would even leave us at home with our brothers and sisters, and we knew I had to open the door, open the window, the house was clean, those things because it was supervision and it was discipline. Nowadays, you have these parents, they come and they want, you know, everybody to solve their problems. You know, Mayor Ballard has done something basically by putting police supervision. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not the best supervision, but it's at least solving the problem from right now. But we're going to have to come up with something, and it goes back again to the parents. And I saw a lot of these young black men who go out here and have these children, and then they abandon their children and don't help the woman raise those children. Again, it's the lack of supervision. Supervision is the key. It's just like on your job. I'm quite sure there are supervisors around there.
You know,
like
that,
on my job.
And you know, there
weren't supervisors here, you know, things wouldn't get done. So same thing. Let's start from the beginning. From 0 to 5, lack of supervision. And that's the problem that you have.
You raised some interesting points. One other thing I want to ask you about, and I appreciate you calling, and this kind of weighed on me since yesterday had somebody call in that was upset because the town hall meeting is at a church tonight. Then I talked to somebody this morning when I got in the office. They were saying, well, people are upset because it's not in the church. And I know you have pointed out, you know, when is the church going to do something? And I'm a little perturbed that on one level, people criticize the church. Here a church is opening up its facilities to have a town hall meeting on serious issues, and people don't want to come to the meeting because it's in a church. If with that attitude, nobody would have come to the meeting about the Montgomery bus boycott in Rosa Parks because it was in the basement of a church.
Well, I don't think it's really about the church. I think it's just the format, the people that are involved. I mean, they're not comfortable with this forum. The group of people, the normal people that sort of show up to these things and say some of the same things and normally never really come out and really hear what's really happened. And when they do hear, they don't really act on what the people are really saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it has anything to do with the location. I think it has more to do with the panel of people that are, you know, that are going to be there to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know I heard on your show the other day a guy made a comment about that. But, again, it's not really the location. It's just about the people. I mean, no one's listening to the people. We're listening to all these politicians and the policemen and all these others, the clergy. And then, again, my last question thing is that, Amos, I'm always about, you go to these churches, and 80% of these churches are full with women. God said, let's make fishers of men. We need to fish these young men. I mean, they're doing a great job of fishing women. I'm not taking anything away from that, but the women are the ones always calling, my son, he's doing this, oh, he's in jail, he's in blah, 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 blah. Let's go fish the men, Pastor. Let's go fish the men.
All right, good points. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. We'll take a break. When we come back, more of your calls. What do we do to reduce teen crime, young adult crime in Indianapolis? If you can't get out to the town hall meeting tonight, Eastern Star, 5750 East on 30th Street from 6 to 8. I'm trying to getting your reactions there. The phone lines are jumping. We'll be back with more. It's Afternoons with Amos for Tuesday. Somebody didn't want to go on the air, said maybe we need to hold judges accountable for parents asking for help and them not getting it. Or maybe the judges need to get off the bench and come out to the real world and see just what's going on. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let me go to Robert right quick. Hi, Robert, real quick.
How you doing, Amos? Hope you allow me to say what I want to say. First of all, about these kids, you know, the parents should know that what their circumstances are prior to they enter into a childbearing. If you are not economically sound or is not going to take and put your life on hold and dedicate your being to raising that child in the proper way, and I don't go for not one iota that they act like that they are afraid of kids. And the system has, it's obvious the system has taken discipline out of the hands of the parents, so the child doesn't have nothing to fear. They in some cases, they dominate the household. You got these weak parents will go out and buy the kids $300 tennis shoes.
All right, that's the problem. What's the solution?
The solution is
the solution. What, you want to take a parent's rights away and then give the kid to somebody else?
You got a man. I raised kids. You got a mandate. You got to mandate the parents to say, hey, this is your responsibility. We are not going to take and try and usurp your rights, but we demand that you produce a product that is not going to be a threat to society.
And where do you provide that training, that parenting class? Do you provide that in middle school? Do you provide that in high school?
Well, it should be. A class just like in some schools, I don't know whether they got it all throughout the system, just like you would have home, you know, they used to have homemakers class and have that as a part of the school curriculum and get these people to learn parenting skill or teach them parenting skill, because they what they're producing now, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue of what the responsibility of a parent, because a strong responsibility have to be the bedrock of raising a child. And to say, well, I can't do nothing with the child, well, why would you put that on people like me and others to take on that responsibility through paying through the nose to develop program.
Right.
Well, when you take discipline out of the hands of the parents, you have lost the child.
We'll agree to disagree on that one, because I don't think discipline has been taken away from the parents. But let me go to the phones and anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, my friend?
Fine.
Hey,
real quick.
Did the show yesterday.
Give me solutions. Give me solutions.
Yeah, I think solutions start with the men. We need to come together. If you don't have a place to have the what's going on, you should come beside the one to have the place. We need to start coming together. That's all that I can say, because time is running out. We have made the youth the enemy, and that's the target. Thank you.
All right, 239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is the president of the City County Council. This is one of the people doing the meeting today, the town hall at Eastern Star. Maggie Lewis, council president. She's on our live line. Council president, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Mr. Brown?
I'm fine. So now what? There's some confusion out here, you know, among some about tonight. What's going to happen tonight?
So tonight we keep hearing from the community that we do not come together collectively to have conversations about our youth. And so this is our opportunity to do just that. We have not only members of the council, but we do have other elected officials who can truly impact change. And so tonight we're asking you to come to the table and offer up some solutions. We keep hearing that the pastors got involved in the process. We're having a location at a church because we continue to hear, where are those black pastors? And so we are having it at a church for that very reason. And so, once again, it's about offering up solutions. We're going to take this town hall to other sites of the city so that, you know, no one can say that we didn't come to the west side or we didn't go to the south side. Our goal is to take this to all sides of town and have that honest dialogue about how do we come together as a community to address crime with that population.
Is this designed for the people from public safety and the prosecutor's office and the courts and the council on a bipartisan basis to listen tonight? Is this listening from folks?
It's all about listening. We want to hear from the community. You tell us what you believe will help us address crime in the community. We all can get together and come up with some ideas and suggestions, and then we'll hear later that that's not what the community wanted. So this is our opportunity to put aside our politics and hear from the community what is important and what do they believe will help our youth.
Because I think that some people heard about, you know, who was going to be there, and they thought those people that are going to be there are all going to talk.
We're going to be quiet for once. We're going to sit back and we're going to hear from the community.
Because people were saying, well, there's no grassroots people on the panel. You want the grassroots people to have their say. Come with solutions.
Come with solutions. We want to hear from them.
All right. Tonight, 6 to 8.
Yes, sir.
And this is not the first and the last.
It's not the first or the last. And like I said, our goal is to take this to all sides of town. And I believe the next one will be on the west side.
All right. Might not be in a church.
May not be at a church.
All right.
That's the feedback that we get. Like I said, this is about the community offering up some solutions.
All right. But I appreciate that, Council President. Thank you. 239-1310. And she's listening. She's listening to all these suggestions. 239-1310. Let me go back to the phone. Shawana has been waiting patiently. Hi there.
How you doing, Angus?
I'm fine.
Right there, what they're doing, that's one way to the solution. But we're going to have to go back old school, I feel like. It takes a village to raise a child. And they're coming out. They've put their piece. Now, it's going to take the community to come together and do things like when we see kids out there cussing and things like that, you can't be scared to talk to these kids. Like, everybody is in fear of the kids. And when I was growing up, there was no fear, no child.
Mm-hmm.
Children and kids fear their adults, or we call them elders.
Mm-hmm.
And raising them up in the household is going to come from home first, the community. And if the government wants to step in, okay, allow them to step in, but allow them to step in so that they are an empowerment source, just like the community is an empowerment to that parent to do the parenting that they need. We don't have to have everybody stepping in and doing the parenting themselves, but they empower that parent by, instead of taking away their rights to discipline their child, because I know my son went to private school, and he got whoopings at private school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was either you would come up there as the parent, or you give that principal permission. And this has been this day and age. And when he switched over to public school, now, you know, if I tell his teacher, you know, if he goes to school, oh, I got in trouble at home because I, you know, didn't do this. You know, these teachers and stuff like that are trying to coddle them. So some of the government and some of the state and things, they need to step back, because you got other people that want to coddle these children, and everybody thinks all these kids are victims, when all they need is some tough love. That's the way that I was raised up. I knew my family loved me. I knew my parents loved me. But in my neighborhood that I grew up in, I'm pretty sure just about everybody in that neighborhood probably whooped my butt at one time or another growing up.
All right, good point.
But if they didn't, they made sure they were in communication with my mother and my father, letting them know what's going on so that, you know, we all kept an eye on each other. So they got to, the community themselves got to do things to help each other, and that helps to empower that parent to know that they're not doing wrong by taking away your kids' games or not getting them something.
All right, good points, my sister. I appreciate it. Let me quickly go to Anonymous, and we'll take a break at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon. Be very quick. Give me solutions.
You know, this generation, I feel sorry for them because they are up against so much, and we as a community need to realize they have rap music. You know, they have,
give me a solution. Give me solutions.
This is what I'm working on, Amos.
Well, I'm running short time. Come to it.
All right. This is where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We need to create, with all these schools and buildings that are closed down from the east side to the west side to the south side, we need to set up a team of professionals, people who qualify to, let's say, like teach music, dancing, different types of art. Larry, he's a glass cutter. He can teach that craft from out of this same building. But this has to be volunteer because everything cannot be done on to pay somebody. So if the community is serious about coming together, we have to pull together resources. We have to sacrifice. We have to be that link in the chain to make this work and make it great for the children. Because by this, Amos, by this, the children can become peer support to each other. Then they can go out in the streets and recruit their buddies who's out there breaking glass and breaking into something and say, hey, man, we got this great program over here. You know, then if you can set it up from the basis like that, Amos, mm-hmm. then somebody can come along. Then they can start creating and building things and making things and earning some stipend, you know, then maybe later on earning a paycheck. Then at the same time, Amos, the children must be taught the danger in this rap music, the danger in these video games. They must be taught this. We teach our children to stay away from drugs, stay away from alcohol, stay away from tobacco. But at the same time, they're being brainwashed by the other end.
All right. And somebody sent me a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. And Mr. Brown, I think we need to start protesting against these game makers, video game makers, and some of these shows that are glorifying violence and disrespect. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. If you can't make the town hall tonight, you just heard the president of the city county council say, the muckety mucks, they're there listening. They're not talking tonight. They're listening to you. So if you can't get there because you're trying to watch the basketball game, share your suggestions. What are solutions to teen violence, young adult violence in Indianapolis? This Afternoons with Amos.